From the age of 7, Murdoch attended Sodsworth Comprehensive School, although from the first day he could frequently be found in the corridors during lessons. His form teacher, Mr. Graveldax, remembers Murdoch with a great deal of warmth as a scruffy, lovable attendee of the Sodsworth School. Murdoch Nichols, remembers Graveldax. No, not him. I hated him. He was an appalling student, whose time was better spent propping up walls outside of the classroom rather than inside, distracting the other pupils with his endless quacking noises and pointless, malicious humour. Although I must admit, even then, he had charisma and a great knack of getting his acquaintances to see things the Murdoch Nichols way. He certainly stood out, but ultimately, he was a stupid imbecile who often turned up smelling of whiskey.
Well,
reckons Murdoch,
it's better than turning up stinking of poppers.
By the age of 13, Murdoch had a notable reputation around Sodsworth, namely for truancy, puerile pranks, ugliness, poor personal hygiene, and generally unruly behaviour. Despite all this, he was also the target of much bullying, both from the pupils and the teachers. One boy in particular, Tony Chopper, a big, thick, meaty skinhead lump with arms like two racks of kebab meat, took a pointed dislike to our boy. School bully Tony Chopper remembers him as a creepy little runt.
Always stank like an unwashed jam cat. Ball sweat,
Chopper reflects.
I took a lot of pleasure in making his life a misery. Having said that, if I'd known what he was going to become, I probably would have acted, well, a bit different. See, I'm 42 years old now, and I spent last night stuck in shelving hop shopper. See, what does that make me?
Murdoch acquired quite a few names from Chopper. Nerdoch, Runt, Reject, Faceache, Oddsock, Wally Bollocks, Trenchfoot, Gaylord, Great Stinking Pile of Horse Dung. The list went on with new ones added daily. It was this protracted period of bullying that eventually made a man of Murdoch. And in the process, Murdoch earned himself the first of 8 fractures to his now legendarily wonky nose. Murdoch, tiring of his persecutor, rounded on Tony Chopper, unleashing an unstoppable tirade of razor-sharp wit and bilious venom. This tidal wave of rudeness rose to a crescendo, climaxing with Murdoch informing Mr. Tony Chopper that he was
useless, bloated, backward waste of space. Would probably end up getting a job holding up for sale signs on the corner of streets, only to then get himself fired and replaced by a bucket of soil. Ah, pissed monkey would stand a better chance in life.
Pow! Tony's massive porky fist connected with Murdoch's face, shattering his nose and sending the young Nichols boy flying.
Success at last!
Murdoch had obviously hit a nerve in Chopper, his insults finally penetrating Chopper's thick, stupid hide deeply enough to reduce Tony to a blubbering mound of mindless thuggery. Despite the bloody nose, Murdoch knew he had him licked. That day, Murdoch skipped home merrily from school, the blood rolling down his broken, beaming face. He was on his way. Honing his ability to highlight people's shortcomings gave our intrepid Murdoch a newfound confidence. Most of Murdoch's subsequent teenage years were spent in a boastful riot of larceny, joyriding, animal baiting, fraud and arson, usually while knocking back bottles of Strongbow cider and shooting out the windows of houses with his air pistol. After a hard day's miscreant activity, Murdoch would then while away his evenings listening to records around his comrade's house. It was here that, amongst other things, he discovered the deep, dark, dulcet joys of Black Sabbath. The Brummy metal band were a second epiphany for Murdoch, shining a luminous beacon of light through the darkness. Murdoch began to imagine a golden future outside the festering, disease-ridden bubonic hamlet that was Stoke-on-Trent. Black Sabbath's greatest hits collection, We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll, was key.
Oh, yeah,
he recalls.
That turned my head right inside out. Actually, they were another catalyst for my venture into the old Satanism game, you know. Them, Aleister Crowley, Anton LaVey, and a very ingenious do-it-yourself Acme Satanist kit I bought at a jumble sale. But the very first thing... See, there was this bloke hanging around the Arndale Centre handing out leaflets, and I guess it was the whole riches on earth sort of sexual gluttony coupled with the opportunity for, you know, alcoholic excess that first caught my eye. Aged 16, that's a very exciting proposition for a man on the move. So, you know, as a look, I tried it out, and you know what? It fitted me like a glove. Heavy metal music and devil worshipping became my favourite pastimes. My brother Hannibal's tastes were more dub and punk-based, but I soaked it all up. Actually, it was my love of The Clash that eventually opened up the world of dub reggae to me. But my first true love was always heavy metal. Lovely, thick, gooey black metal. I don't think my brother liked it at all, though.
Hannibal Nichols broke Murdoch's nose for a second and third time. The crime this occasion was for playing Dio's We Rock album on Hannibal's personal turntable.
He got me into a lot of good music,
he says of his brother.
He's inside now, though, for, stealing hubcaps or something.
Not long after, Murdoch was pushed out of Sodsworth Comprehensive, leaving with only a single legitimate qualification, an international baccalaureate in antisocial anthropology. Murdoch explains,
I'd studied other cultures in quite minute detail. Their behavioural patterns, the way they communicate, and their cultural traditions. And I kind of took the piss out of it. I passed that exam with flying colours.